The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, confederation championships, world championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot. It's great to have you on board on this this latest episode of the TWBC podcast, which is being recorded at the Malibu Open, or at least a day or so before the Malibu Open takes place. And one of the favorite competitors going into that event is Team Malibu skier and two-time world water ski slalom champion Thomas DeGasperi. How are you doing, sir?
I am good. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Excellent stuff. So, coming into this event, you've had a pretty good season so far. You won the San Gervasio Pro-Am Slalom about nearly 2 months ago now, isn't it? It almost seems like an eternity, but I mean, it's only 2 months since you came away with a win in the only professional event to take place on Italian soil this season. So that must have been pretty good. Must have been a good pretty good confidence boost there for you.
Yeah, you know, I started my season trying to qualify for the Masters. Because of COVID last year, we couldn't qualify, so we had to go through a series event to qualify this year. And I was playing a little bit with my equipment, and I was not finding the right feeling into my skiing. So I was a little bit bummed out that I couldn't make it to Masters, but I returned to Italy and got my head straight, got my equipment working, and as you mentioned, I won the San Gervasio Pro-Am, and then, you know, 10 days later, I won my eighth European title, and then, we came back to U.S. for the U.S. Open, where I got third, and then, you know, another event, California, I got third, and so, yeah, it's going pretty well. I mean, you know, it is a tough field this weekend, and then for the upcoming events, and but I'm still here battling.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and I notice how you just slyly mentioned the fact that you've had eight European slalom titles. You said eight, wasn't it?
Yes.
Eight for a European slalom championship. I mentioned right off the top two times world slalom champion, but it's been, what is it now, 10 years since you last won your world championship title. Does that play a little bit on your mind a little bit as you go forward into an event like the World Championships coming up in about a couple of weeks?
Absolutely not, because, that was a long time ago, but, you know, I placed second in Mexico in 2015, 2017 in France. Well, let's not talk about that one. And then the last one in Malaysia, I was skiing good, and you know, conditions were not perfect, but I'm not looking at tournaments based on what I was doing 10 years ago. I'm looking at tournaments how my form is now and how I'm skiing now, and my last year and a half, it's been, I would say, great. I mean, I made a lot of podiums, and you know, it's not easy, and consistency for me, it's very important, and you know, being able to still compete with these guys and be on top with them, it's definitely making me looking forward to this event.
All right, then. You mentioned the other guys. I mean, obviously, it's a sly way of mentioning that you've got some competition. I mean, you've got the likes of Robert Hazelwood. You've got Will Asher, who's still there competing alongside you on Team Malibu, and I mean a whole bunch of others that you can easily choose from as being real top contenders for the titles coming up this season. You know, so I mean, who has impressed you a lot this season so far?
Well, there's a lot of events that happen, you know, that I participate in. It was, you know, at San Gervasio, Nicolas Benatti was, you know.
Oh yeah, let's not forget about that. That was a glorious event towards the end. If you're Italian, certainly.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's not going to be able to come to the World Championships because he hurt his shoulder, so he needs to get surgery. But so for, let's say, Nicolas surprised a lot of people. I never doubted his ability to slalom ski because everybody knows him as a trick skier.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Isewood skiing amazing the last tournament. Last year has been skiing great. He qualified for the Masters. And then, you know, everybody else is pretty much doing whatever we're doing. Like, it's a tough field to be in, you know.
Okay, kind of give us a sense of what your day-to-day schedule is, you know, because, I mean, you spend a lot of time in Florida preparing for the season, but when the season gets up and running, you spend quite a bit of time in your site in Trento in Italy, which, from what I understand, is probably one of the most idyllic places in all of the world to ski.
Well, it is a unique place, Tony. I grew up there. I like going back there. You know, it's a friendly environment for me. Like, my family's there, friends are there. It's not easy to ski, but it's good to ski there. Like, it's a 60 meter deep lake, so it's like almost 200 feet deep.
Lose your car keys. Yeah, lost them.
No, I lost a GoPro like 2 weeks ago.
Oh wow!
Anyway, so we are the only boat allowed, and my dad has been running the ski school for over 50 years, and you know, now he's kind of retired, and I'm taking over, and you know, just being able to ski at home and share time with them is just and trying to give the passion that my dad gave it to me to other people as far as coaching. And it's great to me. Like, I spend, you ask me how's my day, like I wake up, I go to the lake, you know, I train, I ski a couple times a day, and then I coach others and spend times with other people.
All right then. So obviously you're very passionate about the sport, and you alluded to the fact that you are kind of taking more over the day-to-day operations of the ski facility that you have in Italy. How does that kind of pressure weigh upon you? Because, I mean, it's a totally separate set of responsibilities aside from going in the boat and coaching. Now you've got to actually run the business side of things, right?
You know, I do the same thing in Orlando. Like, I have my own ski school in Orlando, and I've been doing this since I can remember. Like, I mean, not as much as now, but, like, I have been having my own ski school for 10 years. You know, I've been helping my family at a ski school. But as long as I find a time to separate that from coaching to training, because I'm pretty good at externing, well,
compartmentalizing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty good at, okay, now the time to coach is ended. Now it's me time for whatever time it is. I get ready. I do my, you know, my routine in my head, and I work on things. And you know, it worked out pretty good so far. So I'm doing two different things, but it's the same world. And in my opinion, since I love this sport so much, to me, it doesn't bother me to jump in the boat coaching. And then as long as I have my me time for a minute before I ski, then I can do it.
Okay, kind of give us a sense of how the sport of tournament water skiing is viewed in Italy, because Italy has had a storied tradition of producing world champions. Although you could go all the way back to the 70s and see, like, the likes
Robbie
Zucchi, to the 80s, to the early 90s,
Bubu
Alessi, and now we have you challenging for world titles and medals and Lord knows what else. So in Italy, how is tournament water skiing viewed? Is it viewed in high regard, or does it struggle a little bit like the United States?
Well, I think the sport is struggling pretty much everywhere. I mean, I see more kids coming up, but it's still a relative small sport in Europe, I think. Maybe because it's not so accessible to people. It's an expensive sport, and not everybody can do it. But we do offer, let's say in Italy, you know, like week trials for kids where pretty much they don't pay nothing and they can ski, and if they like the sport, we can give them deals. But I mean, Italy always produced many, many champions, and I mean, I don't know why. I guess we got good genes, good pasta, and good pizza.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely the pasta. I can definitely attest to that. And yeah, the mozzarella cheese, mm-hmm, of the local agriturismo, I guess.
But know, no, for sure, Italy. You know, with Robbie Zucchi, he was actually like Olympic champion, because that in 72 or 75, I don't remember.
The Olympics,
72, the Olympics, were water ski was like a, like an introductory sport.
Yeah, it's a demonstration sport. They had to ski in Kiel Harbor, uh-huh, in 1972 because the Olympics were held in Munich at that time. Mm-hmm. And I remember that the results from that event, you know, like Wayne Grimditch couldn't land a jump, and Ricky McCormick was the Olympic jump champion, and Robbie Zucchi.
Yeah, in slalom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then Boo Boo, you know, Boo Boo was, to me, when I grew up, was, when I see Boo Boo, is like seeing, you know, Justin Bieber for the girls, you know, is like, he was like the god. And then I grew up and he became our coach for the Italian Federation for many years. And I think, you know, I owe him a lot of my success to him, and but mostly my family and my dad that taught me how to ski.
Kind of describe a little bit of how the setup is in Italy, because I mean, you have your national training center in Ricetto. It wasn't too long ago that the national training center was actually flooded out, and mm-hmm, and a lot of the activities were curtailed there for a while. But a lot of skiers and a lot of athletes across Europe see the Italian model as being the one to emulate in a lot of instances, you know, because of the setup and the training site and everything and the coaches and mm-hmm, what have you, know. So tell us a little bit more about that.
About Ricetto?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricetto was actually built by Bubu Alessi's father.
Wow.
Yeah, it was his idea back in the, I think it was 97 or something, that it would start looking for places. And then they found this location outside, just outside Milan, close to Novara. And with the help of the region, they dug out the first lake first in 99, I believe, or 98. And then the second, and then the third one. And I remember when I participated in my first World Championship, which was in 2001, right after 9/11, the third leg was still being dug. So, you know, it's been there since then. And then I remember growing up always going to Ricetto because the federation kind of required to be there, but also we always had good coaches with Boo Boo, and prior Boo Boo was Tanghi. We always had, like, you know, top-notch coaches and drivers, and if we wanted to get better, pretty much they said, you got to go there.
Okay, obviously, as we continue on with this interview, I'm going to wrap up in a few moments, but I can't let this interview go without about your little escapades a few years ago. It almost seems like an eternity ago that you were involved in some way with the Italian equivalent of Dancing with the Stars. I mean it's probably been brought up ad nauseum and that kind of stuff, and it's been a while since you've actually, you know, tripped the light fantastique, so to speak. But tell us a little bit about that experience for those people who don't know.
Well, it definitely was a different experience, and one of the best experiences of my life, I believe, because, you know, I was entering a world that I don't know, you know, the TV show and TV, you know, with all the celebrities. And it was challenging, but I like challenges because my life has always been a challenge. And definitely hard work. We were dancing like 70 hours a day.
Wow.
And I loved so much, and I took it up like almost personally, like I was going home. I remember staying in Rome, and I was staying in an apartment that owns by Armani, and I was going home and I was dancing and practicing my routine, and it was just love it so much. And it was just more the environment that created like the friendship that we still have now with all the celebrities and soccer players and actresses and actors and singers. And yeah, I loved it. I really loved it.
will we ever catch you watching Dancing with the Stars in the United States and like looking and criticizing what they're doing on the TV there? Like,
they asked me to do the Big Brother this year in Italy.
Wow.
No, it's not, I don't think it's
you can't isolate for that long, surely.
No. There's another show, I think it's called Lost in America, but in Italy it's called The Island of Famous, which they pretty much put you on an island and you got to survive. And there's a show that it's very famous in Italy. And
yeah, I think we have a show in the UK called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or something like that.
But maybe with that one, but I don't know if I would do it. We'll see.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap up the interview at this time. Thank you very much for joining
us.
Is there anything you'd like to say to your fans going forward with the events coming up, like the Malibu, the Worlds, and the others to come?
Well, I'm here. You know, we're here to put up a show, and of course, to give our best as far as our results. And you know, we all share the same love for the sport. And you know, thanks to you, Tony, and your crew. You know, I think this sport is growing a lot. I only, you know, heard good things about it. And yeah, we just hope to put a good show, and then the best is going to win.
All right, then. That was Thomas DeGasperi, and this has been the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe, and stay tuned for the next episode of the TWBC podcast. I'm sure that Thomas will like this one. I say it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.